Certainly been some interesting times of late, haven't they? We've seen a lot of strange goings on and odd behaviors, and I think it's not hard to feel that we're definitely closer than we were before to the end times. I know that every day that goes by we are automatically, but to see the prophetic markers beginning to show up on the horizon is kind of interesting. We see, you know, the challenging times, we see the love of many waxing cold, and I would say that in the worldly sense. I get out on the road every day to go to work 5 days a week, and people are definitely not exercising their right to drive or their privilege to drive with love, that's for sure. Try to keep to the speed limit and find out just how much of a speed bump they want to turn you into, really fast. You know, we certainly see knowledge increasing. It's fascinating to me that, you know, I can reach into my pocket and pull out more information in a moment than I could find in an Encyclopedia Britannica set from 30, 40 years ago in a moment's notice. And already talking about the speeding, but lawlessness is abounding. We're seeing that attitude abounding on the news and, you know, in various places, even here in our nation, when people just do things that a few years back would have been considered lawless and would have been clamped down on. But now it's, you know, I guess it's okay because it meets some concept that somebody wants them to meet. And it can be very easy to feel the burden of all of that lawlessness, the burden of all of that wrong thinking. And it can be difficult for a person of God, and I believe I'm looking at a room full, or, well, 36 of you anyway, make that 37. One more just walked in. Hello, Mr. Edwards. And it can be very difficult to face the challenges of life, can it? I mean, sometimes you wake up and you just don't want to watch the news. You don't want to hear anything else. You just want to enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the fresh air, and, you know, get on with your life and not consider the madness that seems to be building every day. And it's not unusual to feel overwhelmed and overburdened by all of that, all of the weight of those things. There's a record in the Bible of a prophet of God who was feeling a little overburdened. And if you'll turn to Jeremiah 12, we'll take a look at Jeremiah's challenge. When he was, as a prophet of God, he was serving the people of Judah. He was going and telling them their faults because God was telling him to. And he was not being met with open arms or smiles and happiness. He was met with abuse and rocks and bad attitudes, and even among those in his own family that should have been, you know, should have loved him, they didn't like the message that God was telling him to give them. And it overwhelmed him for a while. So he faced those hard times. You know, he was threatened. You can read about that in Jeremiah 11, 19, and his family turned on him, and read about that in Jeremiah 12, 6. But we're going to read in Jeremiah 12, just verses 1 through 5. And this is Jeremiah's question to God. He goes, this is the point. He's finally kind of reached the tipping point in his attitude. It's a little rough for him. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. You know, he wants to put God on trial, if you will, about his judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why aren't you punishing them, God? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You've planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. And here's where it gets a little dark. Here's where Jeremiah kind of really leans in on the darkness. He goes, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. You know, I'm tired of this foolishness. I've been trying to tell them what you want me to tell them, and these people just aren't worth the trouble anymore. Kill them all. You know, it's kind of his approach here. It's terrible. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither and the beasts and the birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. God, you're not judging everybody. You're not punishing everybody the way I think you should, and I'm upset about that. That's kind of where Jeremiah is at. Well, God has a pretty simple answer for him in verse 5. It's really interesting. If you run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, how will you do in the floodplain of Jordan? If you've gone up against the footmen, he's using military terms. If you've gone up against the infantry, who are armed just as you are armed, with the helmet and the shield and the sword, and they've worn you out, how are you going to handle it when the chariots show up, when the horses, when the guys that are riding the horses and the horses that are pulling chariots show up? It's going to get pretty ugly. And if it's been in this relative time of peace in the land, how are you going to face the real warfare when it shows up? It's kind of what he's saying to him. He's like, you're already falling down. You're already losing heart. And it hasn't even gotten difficult yet. This is just the forerunners, just the beginnings of the challenges that you'll face. I mean, have we seen everything that Jeremiah himself has seen? Have we had our families turn on us? Certainly some of us here have family members that think we're crazy, but they still talk to you, don't they? They probably still pick up the phone and they're still willing to check in with you and find out if you're doing all right from time to time, and they like to hear from you. You know, we have challenges every day, don't we? We have the trials that come upon us. But have we really seen it on the level that the prophets, that Jeremiah and the prophets did? Many of them, in fact, I think just about all of them, faced death at one point. They were destroyed eventually in most cases. I wonder sometimes if we're not just more in a prophetic sense, and I'm not trying to place times, I'm not trying to identify exactly where we are, because I don't know. We can see the leaves on the trees, as Christ said. We can see the clouds and, you know, judge the weather. Something's coming, you know, when's the boot going to drop kind of feeling. But has it really begun to be unlaced yet even? That's what I'm getting at. Maybe we're prophetically at the stage that Jesus Christ wrote of, or spoke of, which is recorded in Matthew 24:6 and Mark 13:7. The wars and the rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. We're not really necessarily engaged in that high level of warfare where we hear about it coming. We hear of things going on in distant lands, but they're not really here yet completely, are they? Sure, even the riots that went on recently, you know, that was always in another city. It was somewhere else. It wasn't in our backyard. But wars and rumors of wars, and that's why I titled this message, What's Your DEFCON Level? You may remember a movie from 1983 called War Games. And DEFCON is a system that the U.S. military uses, specifically the U.S. Nuclear Command uses, to judge the level of preparedness that they need to be at in case of war or in the face of the current times. DEFCON 5 is peace operations. Keep your equipment clean and ready, but, you know, we don't need guards everywhere. And DEFCON 1 is, well, the bombs are on their way. You know, it's full warfare. So as it happens here in the U.S., we're currently at DEFCON 4, which means our military is on a heightened sense of awareness. They're guarding more areas that are considered more sensitive that wouldn't ordinarily guard. And so they're at a level above normal readiness, a little bit above. They're enhanced training, they're spending more time considering scenarios. You know, their training has been enhanced, they're checking their equipment, they're making sure everything's working properly, they're studying their battle plans, and they're maintaining their readiness. So in conclusion, we shouldn't be worn out by the beginning of the troubles that we are having right now, because I would suggest that we're not even yet facing the footmen. We're really just in that stage of wars and rumors of wars. The footmen are on their way. Don't believe they're not. But if you're already tired out by the wars and the rumors of wars, can you handle the footmen and what comes after them? We need to focus on our spiritual preparedness. We need to study our battle plans. They're right here in this book. God has laid it out for us. We need to be in our Bibles and understanding God's way of thinking. We need to be empowered by His Spirit, by communicating with our leadership, by finding out what the boss wants us to do through prayer and fasting. We need to ready our equipment. We need to prepare our garments of white, the righteous act of the saints. We need to be putting on our armor every day and polishing it up and making sure it fits properly and that we're holding it and using it correctly. It's truly, if we want to contend with the horses, we need to, well, we can find out where we need to be if we turn to Revelations 19, where we want to be at. If we are going to contend with the horses, we must be among those spoken of here in Revelation 19. And I'll read verses 5 through 14. And then a voice came from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And now I saw, let's jump down to verse 11. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." If we're going to contend with the horses, we need to be on horses. The way we do that is we prepare ourselves now as true soldiers of God. We prepare, we plan, we prepare, we study, we pray, we fast, and we prepare our garments, we prepare our armament so that we can truly face the real battles to come and not be overcome by the little things that are going on now.